From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Think of the religious life of America as an ocean. The Roman Catholic Church and Protestant Christianity are the great blue whales. Judaism and Islam are smaller but significant fish. But swimming among these dominant faiths is an incredibly diverse range of smaller, less known species. Sociologists say about 20 new religions pop up each year in the U.S. Some survive, some live only for a season. This week, NPR will take a look at some important religious trends in America. Many of these trends first exploded in the 1960s. Our series begins with NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty.
The 1960s, the anti-war protests, the summer of love, and Woodstock, when guitarists were God and the government was Satan. Everyone, it seemed, was looking for the next new experience in free sex, in drugs, and the pursuit of a new kind of truth. For many 60s rebels, God was dead and religious tradition was deader. Then came the Jesus freaks, and along with them, Asian gurus from India, Pakistan, Japan. They set up ashrams and spread novel types of spirituality, transcendental meditation, and Krishna consciousness, such foreign ideas soaked into American culture. My sweet Lord. The gurus drew their converts from the heights of rock and roll and from middle-class families. Perhaps the most visible guru followers were the Hare Krishnas. With their nearly bald heads and saffron robes, they became a common sight in parks and airports. In the 1960s and 70s, converts moved into ashrams in droves and often lost contact with family and friends, the kind of throw off the old, put on the new that characterized the era. But that didn't last. Catherine Wessinger of Loyola University in New Orleans says the social cost of that lifestyle became too high for baby boomers who eventually got families, jobs, and homes.
And so now, if you want to live in the ashram, you can live that sort of intense lifestyle, but there are plenty of Hare Krishnas who would have their own homes and be raising their own families and then go to worship at the temple at specified times.
Church sociologists say what happened to the Hare Krishnas reflected a larger shift, away from all-or-nothing religion with strict rules to a more flexible spirituality. But if new religions are less demanding, they certainly have not gone away, according to J. Gordon Melton, who heads the Institute for the Study of American Religion.
America is fertile soil for new religions. We have a long, long history of religious freedom in this country, and this is an area that continually borns new religions, continually receives new religions from other parts of the world.
Melton figures there are 800 to 1,000 new religious movements in the United States today. About half were conceived in America, for example, the Branch Davidians springing out of the Seventh-day Adventists. And Americans love spiritual experimentation. Researchers believe that 10 to 15% of Americans dabble with or join new religions at some point in their lives. For all the flamboyance of the 1960s, some church historians believe that now, in the early 21st century, is the watershed moment when the U.S. is entering a whole new stage of religious life.
It's called believing without belonging.
Lauren Dawson chairs the religion department at the University of Waterloo.
People are still intent on having a spiritual aspect to their life. People want to believe, but they no longer have confidence in the traditional ways in which religion was organized and delivered to them, so they are ceasing to belong.
Believing without belonging is perfect for a postmodern age, he says, an age that tends to reject absolute truth.
There's an increasing willingness to say, well, what I believe is true, but I believe that other individuals have access to the truth as well. In fact, I think I can have my beliefs and add on to them some beliefs of my neighbor.
And that in part explains the wild popularity of Wicca, or witchcraft, among young people.
Changes, touch us, and change us, change us.
Wicca, with its mystical ceremonies, its goddess worship, its reverence for nature, offers no specific doctrine. Followers can stitch together a personal religion with, say, Native American prayer and Hindu meditation. What counts is that it's yours, not a manufactured product of theologians 5 or 10 or 15 centuries ago. And that relates to another trait of religion in a postmodern world. Religion must touch the heart and body. Mere words and doctrines just don't cut it. And so Lorne Dawson is not surprised that the biggest success story in religion today is Pentecostalism. Pentecostals, in churches around the world, hew to Orthodox Christian doctrine, but they revel in a Holy Spirit that overpowers people, causing them to speak in tongues or fall down on the floor.
The whole movement is about charisma. It's about uncontrollable spirits and sensations. It's about fully feeling the moment in the moment.
And a lot of the time, church sociologists say, the new alternative religions tackle modern issues in a way that traditional religions just don't. Consider, for example, the Raelians. 16 months ago, Bridget Boisselier, a spokeswoman for the little-known group, stunned the world by claiming a feat that had eluded scientists.
I'm very, very pleased to announce that the first baby clone is born. She was born yesterday at 11:55 a.m.
The Raelians never produced the baby clone they say was called Eve. James Lewis of the University of Wisconsin says, as wild as their claims may seem, the Raelians do address questions of faith and mortality. This is a religion for secularists, he says. There is no God per se, but there are the Elohim, those who come from the sky. There's no heaven, but there is immortality through cloning.
And here they come along, and they're clothed in the aura of science, and that has a definite appeal to certain people. And there's still a certain mystery, you know. Okay, the Elohim are there, but we don't see them, and there's still a mystique there.
Now, relatively few people will be drawn to the Raelians, or any new religion, as a permanent commitment. But these groups, as small as they are, leave a very large footprint on society. In part, that's because they are the test tubes for religious experimentation.
A lot of the innovation that is occurring on the margins finds its way back into the mainstream.
Donald Miller is the executive director at the Center for Religion and Civic Culture at the University of Southern California. For example, he says paganism, with its reverence for the goddess, has affected the way people think about women's role in religion, and even how some feminist Christians think about God.
There's been an embrace of various kinds of meditative practices that are certainly well known in the Eastern tradition, but also are finding their way into more mainstream Protestant and Catholic denominations.
And Lorne Dawson says these new religions leave a permanent mark on the thinking of those who get seriously involved. True, 90% of those who join a new movement quit within 2 years.
But they don't forget. Their lifestyle and their worldview is now permanently changed, quite different from someone that just kept going to the Presbyterian church, dropped out of the Presbyterian church as a young adult, lives a very secular life.
And Dawson says, once in a while, a fringe group goes mainstream. 175 years ago, the Mormon church comprised 5 people. Now it claims nearly 12 million. And then there's the little sect called Christianity.
100 years after Christ was crucified, or Jesus died, there were probably about 9,000 to 10,000 Christians in the world. From small things, pretty momentous things can grow.
Indeed, with more than 1 billion faithful, Christianity is the largest religious force in the world today. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News.
Tomorrow in our series on new religious movements, the fastest-growing Pentecostal church. Their faith is displayed in raucous laughter and animal sounds. The story of the Toronto Blessing, that's tomorrow on All Things Considered.